The great shift in global wealth continues amid low oil prices.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. With oil at $56 today and a Saudi official saying his country won't cut production even if a barrel falls to $20, what about other oil-producing countries? If you ask investors, Venezuela is teetering on the edge of default. If you ask Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, it is a manufactured crisis, a conspiracy, he says. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour reports on Venezuela's central challenge.
Oil. The answer is oil.
95% of exports are oil.
That's Siobhan Morden, head of Latin America strategy at Jefferies Group. 95% of exports, 45% of the budget, and the price of oil has fallen by half. The government isn't just earning less money, it's earning fewer dollars. And it owes a lot of money in dollars.
They have to finance imports with dollars. They have to finance debt service. They have to finance capital flight.
Morden says Venezuela depends much more on imports than other Latin American oil producers, so it needs more dollars.
They've destroyed domestic production under the latter stages of President Chavez and then beyond.
What to do? Michael Shifter is president of the Inter-American Dialogue.
Cut back on its oil subsidy to Cuba, Dominican Republic, Jamaica.
Or it could devalue the currency and cut domestic subsidies.
But that runs the risk of a real social explosion.
Earlier this year, 40 people died in anti-government riots. There are food shortages, and inflation is at 65% at last count. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
We'll get a sharper picture of the U.S. economy as the morning wears on. A big revision upward in gross domestic product is expected. We'll also hear about durable goods orders and new home sales. Let's do some more numbers. The 100 share index in London is right now up 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up just slightly. The S&P 500 opens at a new record high today. Not sure that's news. That has occurred at a rate of more than twice a month during the year of 2014. Like crude oil, natural gas is a fossil fuel, but it's a distinct energy market. But now that winter is officially here, natural gas prices are falling, although not as abruptly as oil prices. A mild winter in many parts of the country means less demand, and natural gas prices fell 9% yesterday on the New York Mercantile Exchange. This year brings a roster of changes to the annual rite of college football over the coming holidays. Chief among them is the college football playoff, a new semifinal round. But a lot of the game's corporate sponsors have changed as well. Tim Fitzsimmons looks at what's behind the shuffle.
Vizio, the TV maker, is jumping from the Rose Bowl to the Fiesta Bowl. Tostitos is out. The Rose Bowl will be presented by Northwestern Mutual. Discover dropped the Orange Bowl. Now that's Capital One. Matt Saylor, a sports marketing analyst with Imry, says the shift is because the cost of naming the new playoff bowls has jumped, but it's still seen as a good deal.
Those deals combine a season-long, increasingly rare opportunity for brands to reach a key demographic of affluent males watching live television.
That last word is key, live. It's hard to get people to watch standard TV commercials in the age of DVR. It was worth it to BitPay, a Bitcoin payment company, which is naming the smaller St. Petersburg Bowl in Florida.
You know, it definitely increased my advertising budget pretty substantially.
Stephanie Margot, BitPay's VP of marketing, wouldn't tell me how much it cost, but others have estimated these college bowl buys fetch as much as $30 million a pop. And this year, you'll be able to buy your hot dogs and beer with Bitcoin. I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
Hi, this is David Brancaccio, host of the Marketplace Morning Report. Marketplace has been on the air for 25 years, and that could not have happened without support from listeners like you. So please, if you can, make a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace today and help us keep our coverage relevant and compelling. And you should know that your gift, really in any amount, counts twice thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st and help us reach our goal of at least 2,500 donors. Thanks for your support. Wall Street has plenty of fancy computers and bright computer science whizzes on the payroll, but I keep running into people who wonder how Wall Street has avoided getting the full Silicon Valley treatment. No one's figured out a way to use technology to do to financial services what, for instance, Amazon has done to retailing. Brad Katsuyama is CEO of IEX, a system to buy and sell securities that he's trying to turn into a fully-fledged stock exchange. He's had luck raising lots of money for his company, but he says he runs into a reluctance to fully take on Wall Street's current way of doing business. Mr. Katsuyama, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, help me understand your point of view here. It's not like Wall Street, the financial services industry, it's not like they're a bunch of Luddites and technophobes. They got fancy computers. They embrace technology.
Technology has changed the way Wall Street works. All of it comes down to information asymmetry. Do I have more information than the person I'm trading against? You want to create very complex structures and complex markets. And as a result of having that information, it becomes harder for other people to challenge what you're doing or even to disrupt what you're doing.
But you have these clever people looking around for ways that they can be the next eBay. And you'd think they'd try to pick off Wall Street with the new technology, but there seems to be some reluctance to roll up their sleeves and get into that space.
A lot of people, in a way, have avoided Wall Street, institutional finance, because of regulation. One of the things that we're trying to do with IEX is to create a market-based solution within the regulation to a known problem that exists in the market, rather than letting this problem increase to the point where it explodes and then the regulators have to come in and make new rules.
The problem, by the way, just to remind people that you're trying to solve, is high-frequency trading, and you think that can hurt the end user, the end investor.
And not all high-frequency trading is bad. The problem is the way the markets have been designed, exchanges, in a way, are enabling certain high-speed traders to disadvantage other traders.
But it's interesting, this point about regulation discouraging the impulse by innovators to come in and try to shake things up on Wall Street is just playing to the incumbent players on Wall Street. It's helping their hand.
It's helping short term. It's hurting long term. Without this disruption looking to right certain market wrongs, it ends up with more regulation. And I think as the industry is more open to disruption, it actually alleviates the need to constantly have to regulate post-scandal.
Brad Katsuyama is president and CEO of IEX, a securities trading system that's working to become a fully fledged regulated stock exchange. Now, you may know Mr. Katsuyama, who is the protagonist in Michael Lewis's Flash Boys book. Brad, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Katsuyama also told me about the challenges of trying to become a bona fide regulated outfit like the New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, or BATS, the one based in Kansas. If you missed that on the air, we have links to that part of the interview at marketplace.org. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. In Washington today, truth be told, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.